To Luke 21, got towards the end of that song and realized I didn't have my microphone on, so running behind now. Good to see everybody out tonight. Anybody that has studied the Gospels for some time, especially if you compare the four different Gospels, you'll recognize that they're not written always in chronological order. Sometimes a different Gospel may have a different speech of Jesus or something that happens in his life at a different point within the book. But it's all there. And their purpose wasn't necessarily to give a chronological account of the life of Jesus. But their focus was on helping the different people that those four writers wrote to understand certain things about Jesus, especially that he was the Son of God, is the Son of God. But another characteristic that we find here, because sometimes they're more theologically composed instead of chronologically composed, there are themes that run through the book. Different Gospels contain accounts that maybe another Gospel doesn't contain. And one thing that we notice as a thread throughout Luke's Gospel is an emphasis on money. Lots of parables and events, stories that surround around money in Luke's Gospel. Well, here, getting towards the end, we find another one of those stories in Luke 21 about money. Verse 1. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." And really what this account of this widow does is it pulls in the important points that were brought up in most of the other stories throughout Luke's Gospel about money. And so what I want to do with you tonight for a few minutes is think about how this widow fulfills all the things that Jesus had taught about money through Luke's Gospel. Let's talk about these two small copper coins for a second. This was just a mere nothing as far as money is concerned. We find out in other passages like Matthew chapter 20 in the parable there that a denarius was a day's wage, a working man's wage for one day. This widow could have put in her two small copper coins every week for a year, and it would not have equaled a denarius. Now that's interesting. That shows you how little this was. Those vineyard laborers, they weren't the scholarly college degree, you know, get the best, you know, six-figure jobs of the first century either. So a denarius was not even a great amount of money within itself. And yet her two coins wouldn't even equal that given every week for a year. And yet Jesus said she gave all that she had. Giving is not measured by how much we give. And that's an important thing to understand. Because sometimes we look at what we have to offer, and it doesn't just apply to money. The principle applies to everything we give to the Lord. Sometimes we look at what we have to offer and we say, that's not much. Because we as humans tend to elevate certain things. Well, if you give a lot of money, that's better than giving a little bit of money. If we elevate certain aspects, if you're a preacher or you're an elder, you're a more important Christian than other people. If you can teach Bible classes, well, that's more important than cleaning up something in the building. But where do we get that? Where do we come up with those kind of distinguishing things? In our own minds that don't think the same way as God. And throughout the Bible, what God has been interested in is the heart. And people have done amazing things. They've given huge amounts of money. They've given their lives even for the gospel's sake. But the people that didn't necessarily do that, that doesn't mean they're any less, or God sees them as any less. God sees it as always great and what He wants if we're giving Him our heart. And so this widow had given God her heart, and that's why she was able to do this. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18 and look at another one of the stories about money. Luke 18, and let's begin in verse 18. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." This is the most obvious contrast. The widow had nothing except two small copper coins. This man had been living in luxury. It says he was extremely rich. He could have whatever he wanted. And Jesus offered him more than that. He could have whatever he wanted, but Jesus offered him more than all the riches that he could ever imagine. He offered him heaven. He offered him a relationship with God. And he became sad and walked away. You know, so often we must give the disclaimer here. I know I catch this whenever I teach on this passage. Now, God doesn't require everyone to give everything they have. That's not the point of this parable. And so don't walk away here tonight thinking, if you've got to be a faithful Christian, you've got to sell everything you have. And there is truth to that. That's not the main point about just selling everything you have. Jesus was pointing out something in his heart. But rather than just think about the disclaimer, and I don't have to do that, I want to ask you, could you do it? Because that is the point. Could you do it? Could you sell your cars today? Could you sell your house today? Could you give away all of your clothes today that you've worked so hard for, that you've spent so much money on? Could you do it? This lady had nothing. That was all she had. We say, sure, I could give two small copper coins, but that was everything. That was her cars and her house and her clothes. That was everything. And so we can't look at that lady and say that I'm exactly like her, because I tell you right now, I would struggle to give what she gave that day as far as what she gave in principle. She gave her heart. She gave everything she had. This man couldn't do it. And we need to think seriously about how much our possessions and how much worldliness is infecting our soul and causing us not to give to the Lord what we should be giving. Time, our money, possessions take hold of us, and we are so unwilling to recognize when they have done that. This man came to Jesus. "I've done all these things from my youth." He probably had no doubt, and he wasn't thinking about this. Jesus was surely not going to bring this up. And yet that's exactly what Jesus brought up. What is Jesus going to surprise us with on the judgment day? That's a thought we need to take seriously. Well, let's look at another story. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. I'm going to summarize this story and then get to the point that I want to get at. You know, the dishonest steward, or whatever you want to call him. Brother Paul Earnhardt did a good job looking at this. And we have to remember there's one point to a parable. The point is not Jesus was not praising this man for his dishonesty. Jesus was praising him for his preparedness and his shrewdness, his wisdom in dealing with the situation. And his point that he makes later in verse 8, his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light." Sometimes we don't act wise in dealing with one another. But a point that he makes in verse 9, he says, "I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." How do we do with the little things? Because sometimes we do focus on the big things, like we were just talking about selling all that we have or making some kind of big sacrifice, really to do something huge for Jesus is to move to Africa and preach. And that surely is a huge thing. And it's a good thing for someone to do. But a lot of passages focus on the little things in our lives and the little things in our relationship with God. And how faithful are we in the little things? When you get to the end of a day, can you look back and think how you wasted 10 minutes here and 20 minutes there doing nothing? I can. It's so easy to get caught up in something when I could have spent my time doing something so much better, so much more productive, especially in things for the Lord. And we're not often faithful in little things. But you know what 5 minutes adds up to being? After 2 days, 10 minutes. After 3 days, 15 minutes. After 4 days, 20 minutes. And I better stop there because my math isn't very good. So I'll get in trouble the further we go. But the point is, your 5 minutes that you waste over a lifetime adds up to a great amount of time that you could have been drawing closer to the Lord, that you could have been telling someone about the Lord, that you could have been praying, that you could have been serving someone. We need to think about that. Are we faithful in the little things that God gives us? Maybe you're not rich. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. But what do we do with the little money that we have? And I've said before, there are passages, Ecclesiastes, the letters to Timothy especially emphasize that I think God wants us to enjoy this life. And when He blesses us, in the words of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing better for us to enjoy this life. But he keeps coming back to in Ecclesiastes, we have to think about that we're going to be brought into judgment. We have to think about the more important things in this life. So while we can enjoy things, we also need to think about, well, there's a difference between enjoying and wasting time and wasting money. Let me just give you a practical example. And you can get on the internet and look this kind of thing up, and it's amazing to me every time I do. A lot of people, when they go to work, they, you know, eat out at a restaurant. You know, even if you only did that, if you, instead of doing it every day, if you cut it back and you only did it maybe twice a week and the rest of the time you brought a bag lunch from home, you would be amazed at how much money you would save over that time. That's not only a good thing for your family, and God commands you to take care of your family, but think about how much you could give to the Lord. Well, I can't give very much. Well, what if doing that one little thing, that one little sacrifice, all of a sudden you're able to give to the Lord $200 more a year? I want to tell you, some of those preachers in Africa and South America, that's a month's wage for them. And maybe because you made that one sacrifice of not eating out, you know, every day during the week, you're able to provide a preacher with his month's wage. But sometimes we get so distracted, so caught up with our life, we don't think about how the little things can become so important and how the little things can impact on a great level. And Jesus said the same thing in regards to the people in the parable of the talents. You know, they had the guy with the five talents had gotten five talents more. The guy with the two talents had gotten two talents more. And what did he say to him? He said, "You have been faithful with a little. I'm going to set you over much now. Enter into the joy of your master." Being faithful in a little has a great impact on our service to God. And that widow in Luke 21, she had just a little. She gave it all to the Lord. And Jesus saw that. And sometimes we forget who Jesus is. Jesus is God. And He doesn't have to be here on this earth as Jesus was at that moment to see the sacrifices that you make, because you stop to think about how you could impact your service to God by being faithful in the little things. Well, let's back up again to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Obviously, again, she's in stark contrast to the man in verses, the parable there in verses 13 to 21. But look at verse 13. "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?' Then he said to them, 'Beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions.'" One thing that amazes me is if you back up, Jesus is in the middle of teaching here. This is the Jesus who they know, he'd been doing miracles. And in the words of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when you see the kinds of things Jesus was doing, you know he came from God. And so this man was so caught up in his money that he wanted, he didn't stop to think about who he was getting the chance to be with, and that he was getting the chance to hear Jesus teach. And he stopped Jesus in the middle of his teaching. "Make my brother divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus had, his thought was, he's not just upset about the fact that he interrupted him, but that's not the reason I came. Who made me the arbitrator between you and your brother? And he told him to beware. because he had a wrong concept of his life. He thought his life consisted in his possessions. And Jesus said, the very fact that you interrupted the Son of God to talk about money means you don't think appropriately about your life. How often does money interrupt our striving to serve God? How much does our seeking for money and possessions, our work life, how much does it interrupt our own personal study and prayer time? How much does it offer us fathers? How much does it distract us from being spiritual leaders to our families? But Jesus goes on and tells the parable of this man who, he already had a lot, and he said, I've got so much, I can't even fit it all in my barn, so I've got to build more. He was thinking about only about himself. And then in verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, I don't know what was going through that widow's mind when she let go of those copper coins. But I want you to seriously think about, if you knew this was it, that's all you had, think your hands would be shaking as you were about to drop it in that box? She would have to have considered, where am I going to get food for tomorrow? This guy was so caught up. Look what I have done. Look what I have. He wasn't looking towards God. It was all me. What I've done and what I've got. And I can take care of myself. I've made myself happy. And you can't make yourself happy, and neither can I, and neither could he. And that's what the widow understood. Yeah, I bet it was hard to let go of those two copper coins. But then maybe she thought about the Psalms that I bet she read quite often, or at least since she probably didn't have a copy of her own, at least she loved it maybe when they read them in the synagogue. And they talked about God's providence for His people. Lord, you have set me in a land of flowing of milk and honey. Lord, you have always been with me. You have lifted me up. Sometimes it's our money, our possessions, and things like that that block the flow of those thoughts from coming through our minds. And sometimes that's the benefit of poverty, is you don't have anything else to distract you from it. Your only hope is that God is the faithful one. Just like Alan prayed tonight, God is the faithful one. And sometimes we need to be at the point where that's all we've got, is to hope and trust in the faithful one. This guy certainly wasn't. But she had laid up treasure for herself in heaven, not here on earth. She was a contrast to this man. But she was also a contrast. To another story. Back up to Luke 16 again. Well, I guess it's going forward. And there's another man here who had a lot, but he didn't have much. There was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. That's Luke 16 and verse 19. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. Listen to what Abraham says. Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. You had what you wanted, he said. You had what you wanted, and now you've gotten it. You didn't care about God while you were living. You cared about that money. You cared about those things that you had. And you cared about them so much that you walked past this guy, suffering and struggling every day. And yet probably the thought on his mind was, how can I get more stuff? How can I make more money? And then again, maybe that wasn't his thought. Maybe he was like I have been sometimes, and maybe like you have been, where we don't think we're like him, but we still don't think about others. Maybe we don't say it to ourselves, but we're still so caught up in getting and getting and getting that we don't think about giving to others. We are rich people. And we need to understand that. We are part of the richest percentage of the people that live on this planet. We need to understand that. We need to recognize how much God has blessed us with, and not let these blessings, use these blessings to His glory, rather than let them distract us from His glory. But that woman, again, she was a total contrast to this man. It may be that giving this would have ended up in her death, because she didn't have anything else. But God was her hope. And she may have been like Job, who said, I know that at last my Redeemer will be the one who stands on the earth. She knew she had a Redeemer in God. And the poverty and suffering that she experienced in this life, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, was just a light affliction working for her a more eternal weight of glory. And that meant more to her than the things of this life. And so when we look at her in Luke 21, she is a contrast to all of these other stories. Where they failed, she excelled. And yet all she had was two small copper coins. It's kind of interesting that Luke focuses on this. When you get to Luke's sequel, the book of Acts, what do we find out that Christ's people are doing? From the very beginning, at the end of Acts chapter 2, they were all there together. And as they were worshiping and eating together they knew they were part of a new family. They were selling their possessions, it says, and giving to each other as any had need. Then we come over to Acts chapter 4. And the apostles, it said, are powerfully preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And people are, and the church was increasing. And as they were increasing, the people were giving up. They were selling more and more to provide for one another, to serve God, to serve their fellow Christians. Does that characterize us? Are we willing to sacrifice? Or are we maybe a little bit more like Ananias and Sapphira, who follow up that example in Luke chapter 4 of people giving everything? And they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to think that they were good too. And they were willing to sacrifice too, so they sold this portion of land. But we'll pocket a little bit of it. And they come to the apostles. Is this what you sold it for? Yes, that's what we sold it for. How dare you lie to the Holy Spirit, he said. How dare you lie to God? Are we lying to ourselves and to God when we think we're people that are willing to sacrifice? We need to think about our hearts. And Luke 21, I think, is interesting. And this is, we'll end where we began tonight, because of what follows. And, you know, God may not have intended this point to be made, but I think it can be made. But just think about this. Let's read the story again. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins, and he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." Let me say this. I meant to say this earlier. As we see that trend follow in the book of Acts, think about 2 Corinthians 8 when he's talking about the churches of Macedonia that were giving to the need among Judea. And what did he say? He said they really didn't have the ability to give what they gave. They gave beyond their ability. He said the reason they did that is because they gave themselves first to the Lord. And out of their poverty, they were able to give a great amount to help other Christians. So, like her, out of her poverty, she put in all that she had to live on. But look what follows. And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." And they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore would these things happen? And what will the sign when these things are about to take place?" And I'm just going to stop there because that's what I want to focus on. He turns from seeing this woman who gave everything that she has, and they're there at the temple. And so the disciples notice how beautiful the temple is and these beautiful stones. You know, what a glorious thing this is. And Jesus said, "This is not a glorious thing." And that's what's brought out about the Jews in the Old Testament so many times, especially in the book of Isaiah. We've got the temple. We go to the temple. We offer sacrifices. We're the people of God. And God ends the book of Isaiah saying, "Do you really think that you can build a place where I dwell? I dwell in heaven, and the earth is just my footstool," he said. He said, "Here's the one to whom I look. The one who is humble and contrite in heart and fears my word, respects my word." And this same thing here, Jesus is saying, this temple is going to be torn down. This temple doesn't mean anything anymore. It is hopelessly lost because what it was intended to symbolize, they have forsaken. It was intended to symbolize the presence of God, but not the building itself. And what I think all of these lessons force us to ask is what Jesus really wanted them to see here. Is God didn't dwell in a building made with hands. He dwells in the hearts of men. And so the question is, not what's on the outside, not if you've got pretty stones that you're wearing, not if you're wearing fancy clothes, not what kind of car you drive, not how much is in your bank account. What matters is if God is sitting on the throne of your heart. Because I want to tell you something. If God is not sitting on the throne of your heart, your body, your temple, your soul is going to be torn down, just like the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. But if God is on the throne of your heart, even though this body wastes away, you will be raised up forever to be with Him. And so the moral of the story is, Let's not get distracted by the things of this world, by the cheap lies of Satan. Because his cheap lies can come in the form of $10 billion, but it's still a cheap lie compared to the treasure of heaven. The treasure of having a relationship with God. And that woman has a lot of lessons to teach us. Could we drop the two small coins in the box? And I'm not here mainly talking about the collection. As I said this morning, you're to be commended as you've reached the budget that we needed to do. It's just the thing that it's very easy for these things to distract us. And we need to think about that, and we need to make sure that we'd be willing to give it all up for God. If you're not a Christian tonight, I'm asking you to make that commitment. Because in reality, you're not giving everything up. You are gaining everything. And so, if you're not a Christian tonight, will you humble yourself? Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized into Him? And if you are a Christian and you recognize that you haven't been committed in the ways that you needed to, we're ready to pray for you and strengthen you. If we can help you in any way, please come as we sing the song that's been selected.